guys. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper.
This is Joe Bob Briggs.
This is Jeffrey Combs.
Hey, this is Scotty in from Anthrax.
Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time.
You're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Broadcast.
And you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Podcast.
I'm saying this under duress.
You better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
Dear listeners, welcome back to the show. Sorry we did that to you last week and cut this episode into two, but you know what? You can't just have 1 hour with Tom Myers to really unpeel that goddamn onion. You need a full two. So that's exactly what we did. So we're going to jump you right back in with more Tom Myers as we break down this god-awful movie. And stick around to the end so you can hear Jeremy's special song in its entirety. Check it out. And welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast.
So,
like, that's ever stopped you before.
But he does.
I was too lazy.
He does take off his glasses to talk to the doctor after he gives him a little bit of his blood.
You will do your tests alone, and you will report the results to no one but me.
Oh, great. He's
you
using the force.
Instruct that female to transfuse me. Do you comprehend?
So, and uses a little bit of mind control on the old doctor who's going to go and look at
his
blood.
You recognize the doctor, don't you?
I have seen him from other things, but I'm sure you have a much better story to tell, Jeremy.
Well, I realize you need your blood, but I think we can fill up your blood and with some fresh Smuckers, you know? Smuckers works just as good as blood if you don't know about Smuckers' goodness.
Oh, he's from the Smuckers commercial. Got it. Okay. So,
Not that just a great taste of Smuckers or alien blood.
So, the doctor's nurse, Amanda, gets hired by this alien Johnson to do his daily transfusions. To ease her fears, he calls her, calls a number for a job reference, which is actually just a giant alien glob that's back at his place, hooked up to a telephone answering machine, because that's how aliens worked in the 90s. And she talks to the brainwashed doctor, who assures her that it's a rare case of hemophilia and to take the job. So here we go. Amanda, whose tits we are going to see very soon in this movie, is now on the case. Next, we see the cops pull
disclaimer
up.
Disclaimer noted.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, there are titties in this movie. It's a Roger Corman joint. That is officially, that has to happen, actually.
Sadly, Belzer probably didn't actually get to see it while he was doing the scene.
Yeah. It's fucking Richard Belzer. We're going to get to him too. So next, we see all the cops pull up to give a ticket because he's parked in a handicap spot. Amanda sweet talks the cop out of the ticket because there's clearly some sexual tension between them, and the cop says he's going to escort the gentleman home. She arrives at the house and is greeted by Jeremy, played by Richard Belzer, who Jeremy is so give me your Richard Belzer impersonation again here.
Hey, you know, that's like my favorite Cuban, Ricky Ricardo. Hey, I hope nobody shoots up this joint trying to kill Scarface over there.
He is. Richard Belzer is
that
doing...
Richard Belzer or Bugsy Malone?
Man. Hey, Richard Belzer!
Sounds more like Bugs Bunny doing a mafia impression.
I'm Richard Belzer, everybody!
I mean, like, I do like that in the movie Scarface, Richard Belzer is the stand-up comedian at the club before it gets shot up. It's just like, imagine dying in the last night you saw Richard Belzer's stand-up comedy. That was that's what you...
He really died that night.
I did it everything. Have you... Maybe... Listen...
I killed, man. I killed like I was performing in an unmasked crowd during COVID.
Hell yeah, brother.
I killed more than a Dimebag Darrell show.
Ashley, we got one?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good, good. I was going down the panel. We got one riff, two riff, three riff. Nope, no, Ashley,
you're
got it.
You're like mine. We're good.
So next, the...
saving her energy.
So, yeah, you know what? I was going to talk about Richard Belzer. Have you guys ever seen the Richard Belzer show? More specifically, have you seen Hulk Hogan put a sleeper hold on Richard Belzer and knock his ass out?
No.
That's how he got his house in. That's how he got his house in France after suing Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he did. He sued Hulk Hogan for millions of dollars because on the Richard Belzer show, and you look it up, it just search Richard Belzer,
Hot
Hulk Hogan.
Was the show.
Hulk Hogan puts a sleeper hold on him because he's like, show me how to do this wrestling stuff. You know, I just need to know how wrestling works. And then he's like, well, first do this. This is called the sleeper hold. And he puts a real sleeper choke on Richard Belzer. And Richard Belzer, with 1 second of force, completely goes limp. And like, fucking, I guess Hulk thinks he's playing around with them, right? And then he fucking, Hulk drops him and Richard Belzer smacks his head on the floor. He gets legit fucked up in front of national TV. And he became a millionaire off of that because he sued Hulk Hogan after that.
And his head was split open. He had to have like 20 stitches in the back of his head.
It was on the back of his head? Because every time I see the front of his face, I assume that's what he was dropped on.
I've killed another Jew with my Holocaust hold. Damn it.
What?
I'm Hulk Hogan.
I can't believe that for once I'm not the most offensive one on a podcast.
I'm more offended about how many wrestling references you got wrong in one 30-second bit.
Oh,
right,
yeah!
Me?
Snap into a Hulk Hogan slim jam!
No, that is the great Randy Poffo, a.k.a. the Macho Man Randy Savage you're referencing, and you will not disrespect him on this goddamn show.
Okay, I'm actually a Hulk Hogan. I can crush anyone because I'm a giant.
You're doing Andre the Giant.
That was how Richard Belzer sounded when he had that head damage.
I'm Richard Belzer. I have a massive head wound.
He is kind of slow on SVU. He'll just walk into a room and be like, "So, where's the rape victim?" Yeah, he's not like the best.
That's because he was like 90 when he retired from that show.
Hey, Richard Belzer, check it out. This bitch just got raped. And that was my iced tea. That was the best. Best I could do right there.
Institution!
Jeremy explains, Richard Belzer explains that he's the chauffeur, the butler, whatever else he needs. He shows him...
Wingman.
Yeah, his wingman, you know, the guy he gets pussy with. Because there's nothing
yeah,
like...
Yeah, right, sure, that's great. Yeah, wingman for an alien.
I'm just out here trying to help this alien get pussy. You know what I'm talking about? That's all I'm trying
Why
to do.
Why do you have all this Siloam in the refrigerator? What's up with this? Is it reanimator formula? What is this?
He does have weird reanimator blood in the fridge, which I do enjoy. They try to bring in that H.G. Lovecraft aspect to this movie. Because that's what Roger Corman does. It's just like, I can make a cheap-ass movie, but, we'll throw in some fucking, some of this in there this time. It'll make it better, you know?
You know the budget where you have to buy, like, 50 of those little Siloam sticks to add to your movie?
Oh, God. And then I'm reminded of that, like, part of Tiger King. He's like, I'm never going to financially recover from buying these glow sticks for the movie. I'll never be able to get back to zero here.
My favorite, I've never even seen the movie, but I saw the clip where he was bragging about how he's gay, but he's not gay as these other guys, so. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Right. Cool.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to see how long it could be quiet.
Nice story, bro.
It was good. So
Can you not tell it again?
Get his ass,
sorry.
Tom. Get his ass.
That's funny.
He shows him where he can be fed blood, and he doesn't know what TV is, which is really fun. And he says, "What were you raised on Mars?" He says, "Much further away."
Mars. That's like the backyard.
So
you know what that reminds me of? Sorry, like Little Nicky. Have you seen Little Nicky, Tom?
Of course. He has to have.
So I love that movie. I love whenever he's like, I'm from the South. The deep South. It's like literally the same joke set up.
Mars, what do I look like? Matt Damon?
Mars! So later that night, he you get to see the fridge where he has more blood and green shit, and he has to initiate some contact.
We must initiate contact.
So he opens up a giant space portal in his room where tentacles flow out from this fucking thing, and his eyes glow green, and he talks to this portal on the wall here.
Inja.
Siddhartu reporting.
We have been waiting for your report. Are you experiencing difficulties?
This world is different.
Our time fades, Siddhartu. The plague grows stronger with each moon. Have you found the cure?
Their blood and life essences have renewed my capabilities, if only for shorter durations. I will be sending units for study. As for a cure, I remain hopeful.
Hope is not enough.
I will increase my efforts.
What of their world, Siddhartu? Can it sustain life as we know it?
I cannot recommend evacuation to this planet at this time. Their blood and life force are a temporary reprieve. Our survival lies in a cure.
So Siddhal is his real name. He's a super fucking alien. Oh my God. And this thing he's talking to, if anybody's ever seen the movie Power Rangers, the original Power Rangers movie, it looks like the bad guy from that, but he doesn't, like, it's just like he moves like from side to side. Like he's, it's bad. Okay, guys, that's the best way I can describe it.
A lot of people compare this scene to the first time that Vader talks to the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, a lot of people have never done never done that. Jeremy, is this a time to present your song to everybody that you wrote for the movie?
Is this the part of the movie where he puts the thing into his belly stomach?
Yeah, he does. I think he hooks it up to his belly mouth and puts like this liver thing into him, because that's what he has, like a weird alien liver that he pulls out and shoves into his mouth belly, which is you know, I thought that's what sex was until then.
It's not like Chris Elliott, who has a side mouth.
Yeah, completely different.
Belly. This is best explained through in song.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Jeremy's song here. Here we go.
Sometimes when you're lying in your chair at home and you get your friend out of the vault and stick him into your mouth in your belly and you start talking to your friend, your master, through your time portal, and you find out your brood has died, yeah. That's when vampire aliens do cry. Vampire aliens, yeah, they still cry. But when you're in your basement and you're collecting blood that you turn into weird green silume, yeah, and you stick that little thing in people's necks and suck them to the bone like some weird zombie, yeah. But you'll be prepared to stick them in the oven, burn them alive, cause they're still kind of alive and you drain them for blood. But alien vampires still cry.
Wait for it.
Okay.
And my heart will go on.
There we go.
Susan takes you down.
Wow,
to
Jeremy.
A place near the river.
I love how Ashley, Eric, and I were all just kind of cracking up, and Jeremy's just sitting there focused. Like,
this is serious music for Jeremy.
And they are mocking it. No, I tell you what, if they do another remake of this movie, of Not of This Earth, That is going to be, I am going to lobby for that to be part of the soundtrack.
Oh, all right.
I'm just hoping that Tom Cruise will sign on.
Hell yeah. This is a Scientology-based film more than anything.
You know, you're getting into the aliens. You're getting close to Scientology.
Honestly,
I'm gay.
This stays on when we fuck.
So, downstairs, though, while this is all going on, Jeremy is poking around to see, but sees a little too much, and Johnson catches him. Chokes him up.
I value my privacy. If you value your life, you will never come here again.
What's with your face?
My face is angry. Get out.
And it's worth noting the shitty special effects.
Do you remember
effects?
Hulk Hogan? Jeremy.
He literally.
Oh,
yeah! I hate you, Jeremy. So
yeah,
much.
Brother! You stay out of my basement!
Oh, God. So,
but don't put me on no damn plane!
Next, 20 minutes into the movie, or 25 minutes in the movie, we get to see Amanda's titties for the first time. She's showering, and creepy Jeremy comes to bring her breakfast and then tries to take a little peek himself. They chat, but Jeremy doesn't know much. He just gets a grand a week to cook and drive, and he's definitely... There's some Me Too moments in here when creepy Jeremy is in here. How did you feel about this scene, Ashley?
Scene specifically? I'm sorry, what part are you referencing?
The part where Jeremy comes up to just watch her shower and bring her breakfast, as
oh,
if it's
well,
part
like,
of his
this
job.
Is, you guys are not the opinion you're about to have. I am willing to admit right here and now, even though I'm sad to admit it, that when I was younger, I had a little weird crush on good old Richard, aka Jeremy.
Ew.
I don't know what it is. I just,
ew.
I know.
Ew.
I just, there's something about a Jewish man with no goals. Like,
I like it because his face looks like the planet that our alien came from. That's the biggest.
Absolutely. It looks like someone dropped a grapefruit. I get it.
Is there a more pockmarked comedian than Richard Belzer? I mean, he is definitely part of the Jürgen Prochnow, Brian Adams / Seal club.
I think I come a close second.
Yes.
You don't have any pockmarks in your face. What are you talking about?
Oh, this Zoom camera doesn't do me any justice.
Aw, well, hey, look, Tom, you might have a chance because every time I look at Richard Belzer, I get so moist because it reminds me of driving in my car and hitting all the potholes.
Ooh.
All right. Oh, well, okay. All right. Thanks, Ashley. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, it's great. Fine. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
So,
Richard Belzer on his comedy CD actually coined that, the mumbling that he does, Belzonics, where you respond to anything with just a series of nonsensical gibberish. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Hooked on Belzonics worked for Tom.
yeah, sure. Yeah.
So,
all right, we ran.
He's
that
also Jewish.
I get it. Okay, Jesus Christ. So
I love Jews.
I know you do. So Amanda hangs out by the pool. We get to see more titties, and we learn that Johnson does not like loud sounds like the doorbell, which in no other part of the movie comes in handy at all. Nobody uses loud sounds against him ever again. We just know that he doesn't like them.
He's kind of like the retard in
the car horn.
Thunderdome.
The car horn.
Yeah, I guess you're right, the car horn at one part. But you'll see that he answers the door, and Johnson gets to meet a lovely Christian missionary.
Yes. Then the Lord Jesus will fill your tap. He alone will bring you new life.
He can cure me.
If your disease is loneliness, yes, he can.
Hmm. He takes his glasses off, reads.
There is no science here, no solution.
But sir, these words are the ones that will bring you peace. I want you to see the face of the Lord.
And I want you to see my face.
Oh, gosh!
Feel peace. Nothing but
So he hypnotizes the sweet missionary, leads him down to the basement, hooks him up to fill the to the blood suck machine, and drains him pretty good. And he goes,
interestingly enough, it's quite a contrast from the previous movies. In the 1957 version, that was a vacuum cleaner salesman. And in the 1988 version, they go a completely different tact, and it's a stripogram.
Oh man.
And as she's getting hooked up in the 88 version, all she's wearing is like just a thong, because she's just done her dance for this alien. And it's like, oh no, I'm at the wrong house. It's basically like a porn, but there's no fucking involved.
Oh, well, my favorite kind of porn. Let me tell you.
It's good Christian porn.
I love this missionary because I'm like, oh my God, how did I not know that Black John Turturro was in this?
You stole from my kin.
Hogs wallop.
Later on, Johnson is watching the Dracula movie, and he loves it. He's like, I must meet this Count Dracula. Man, what a good bit, drinking people's blood. Jeremy says he'll try to set it up. So Jeremy then drives him past
Jeremy in the movie, not your brother.
Oh no, I meant this Jeremy.
Creepy Jeremy.
Jeremy.
The other creepy Jeremy that doesn't dress like a clown.
Yes. So Jeremy then lets him know that drives him past the homeless people of Los Angeles and says to invite three of them for dinner. I will pay them gold. So he agrees to that. The police officer then pokes around the doctor's office. Johnson reads everything in the library. We get to see some more titties from Amanda, but she notices that there's a fire burning in the chimney, so her tits get curious and goes to check that out. But as Johnson leaves the library, he sees another one of his kind, and they start speaking telepathically to one another.
You are E13 Brood. They said I was alone.
They have said many things.
So this is actually the beginning of fake news. Intergalactic level fake news. Do you understand? That's what she discovers at this moment.
It's the Matrix fully retarded.
One of the top 10 love hits on his planet was You're My Kind of Brood.
You're my kind of brood. So Amanda does go downstairs and maybe sees a bit too much in the fridge. The doctor and the cop go to visit Johnson. Doctor tells him what he's found about his disease.
Now, the virus in your blood is airborne.
Is it contagious?
I wish I knew. What I do know is that this virus requires that an extremely rare element be present in the blood if it's to survive.
And luckily, I've created this healing salve. It's called Smuckers, and you rub it into your skin.
I've taken some of your blood, and I've added it to some Pepperidge Farm cookies, and they taste delicious.
So he does mention that this disease looks not of this planet. So the cop then asks Amanda on a date. She says yes. He then hypnotizes the doctor to not sleep and work day and night to find a cure, which is very mean for this Pepperidge Farm gentleman.
What does he think this is, 2020?
Yeah, fuck, get out of here, pal. Fucking, these alien workloads are out of control. So Jeremy goes to pick up the bums to go bring them to dinner. Amanda and Jack's date seems to go well. Jack is our cop. Jack wants to know more about Johnson, and I did pull this little audio clip right here.
Yeah. How would you like to have a blood transfusion every 12 hours?
And he doesn't have AIDS, right?
No.
I thought it was fun that they just threw in some AIDS right in the middle of that. He's like, wait a minute. You're giving a guy blood transfusions and he doesn't have AIDS? Get out of here.
They need to go ahead.
I did an episode of something called Comedy Fight Club up in New York. This literally right before all the lockdown started. And apparently it's a thing at this, it's a roast battle. Apparently it's a thing where if anybody mentions AIDS, then the crowd chants it.
Wow.
This chance. AIDS. Jeremy, you'd love this thing.
Jerry does love AIDS.
Here's the thing. During this roast battle, I received two chants. Like, the audience chanted, Tom. So the big thing after the post-roast battle interview was, Tom, you beat AIDS. Do you understand that? Perfect. Bring it.
That's amazing. It's funny because when I do shows, people only chant Ebola and get off the stage.
I just wish they had stopped that scene and they looked right in the camera. He doesn't have AIDS. He has space AIDS.
Space AIDS. Never gonna stop now. Space AIDS. So Johnson then brings the bums down to his wine cellar, quote unquote, where all of his blood and his fucking body furnace is downstairs. And the bums are a little agitated.
This is my cellar for wine.
Yeah, well, maybe you can pick us out a delightfully bold yet fruity Mad Dog, Vintage 87. Look, Wolfgang, I don't mean to be rude here, but we were promised dinner. You know, we're hungry.
You will never go hungry again.
Oh! So...
Did anybody point out that he's a German with an oven in his basement? And it's like the ultimate bad Schindler's List, where Richard Belzer notices that he has an oven and doesn't do anything about it. So
I did not mention it, but no, this was not lost on me, Jeremy.
Okay.
So Johnson then goes to report home about some of his new findings and talks to the big space alien in the fucking room.
Sidal 2 reporting.
Have you found the cure?
The cure remains a mystery. I am transporting more blood and life essence now.
They do make really shitty music, though, that we'll listen to every single day. Oh, God, not that cure. Not that cure.
Receive. Will you make sure? In addition, transport a live specimen, a female. Do so at once for investigation and analysis.
Understood.
And the Taco Party back.
Should be aware of the situation. Our world grows ever more helpless. Panic and treason infest the hive. There have been defections.
Defections?
If you encounter our kind, they must be terminated immediately. They have forgotten their duty. They endanger the survival of our world. Do you understand, Sidal 2?
Understood. And what of my brood?
Unfortunately, your brood has perished.
They are no more.
There is much pain and suffering, Sidal 2. Be assured they served the hive well. We await more blood and life essence. Send the breeding specimen as soon as possible. Remember, it is your duty to serve the hive.
It is my duty.
But he does have a big tear for his lost family, his brood that has died back on his planet.
Did that sound incredibly creepy when he said, send a female? It's like every single, like, incredibly horny and creepy guy in a bar. Hey, want to come back up to my hotel room for investigation and analysis?
Actually, one thing they didn't
tell you
about... I
got a mini fridge, too.
One thing they don't tell you about the movie is actually this: their home planet is called Weinstein 478, which is a home planet for these aliens.
Eric, that's hilarious.
Only accessible by Jeffrey Epstein's private jet.
I think
apparently Space Epstein committed suicide.
I think you made a mistake, guys. You think it's called Wits End.
It's the Wits End Saloon. That's where it is.
Yeah, that's literally everything.
It's that loudmouth bald guy who always sits at the end of the bar at Wits End.
Oh, God. Classic, that guy.
No, Andrew's great. It's just I love Andrew.
Shout out owner of Magoobies, Andrew. You're great, man. You're great. You can sexually assault me whenever you want, man. So Jack talks to the homicide detective and learns a little bit more about these murders that have been going on.
I'll tell you something, Jack. I've seen some weird shit in my time, but this guy, he takes a cake. He burns the eyes out of his victims with some kind of a laser device. And then he drains the blood. And then somehow he mummifies them on the spot. He's killed 14 people. And that's just the ones we know about. And I got a hunch. When we catch up with this guy, he's going to hold the mass murder record of all time.
Whoa, the mass murder record of all time.
To be fair, this was before school shootings.
Yeah, so. That's true. Currently,
this is before Columbine, so
yeah, you know. this is
Mr. Johnson has a lot of work to do now,
and he really likes Tarantino films.
So, next we see Johnson runs into some street ruffians that are trying to, who are supposed to be like cholo street ruffians, and instead they're clearly white people. Which I thought it was pretty funny.
Give me the case, puto.
Case, puto.
More aggression. You are an enforcer?
Yeah, that's right. The head fucking enforcer, man. I'm going to enforce you out of this world. You don't give me the case.
You have committed an error.
Oh, he breaks his arm and fucks up all of them, but then steals the woman out of their group, who's going to be an offering to the home planet shortly here. He also reaches out to his other alien friend via a mind call, but is he going to kill her or is he going to help her? We're not really sure. So he takes that Cholo lady back to his home world.
But not before forcing one of them to eat the gun.
That is true. He does make the one guy mind control and shoot himself in the head, which is fun. Jeremy then tells Amanda that she's pretty weird. That lady came in. That lady came in last night and never left. That's odd. He then talks to the other alien and he wants the truth. They have devoured all of the broods, all of the moils back on the home planet. It's funny that they're called moils. They are just eating all of the specimens that he sends back, and she goes to go feed. Her new friend, right? Who wants to basically? Johnson wants to breed with this new alien that he's found and start his own new brood. So he takes her to the blood bank and breaks in and gives her some blood to eat. Amanda then invites the doctor to dinner because that's the fucking coolest thing on a date, is to bring your fucking boss there so they can talk fucking chop shop while you're trying to get some pussy from a local fucking policeman. Doctor then shows up with his fucking findings, who hasn't slept, says there's some real crazy shit in his findings. The aliens break up into the back of the blood bank with their laser eyes, and he shoves a pick line into her neck and gives her some blood, but we're going to find out this is not the good blood that he should have chosen. She starts reacting crazy to it. Johnson goes out to find another specimen so he can send back home, but she walks immediately back in, puking into the blood bank. Just grossness happening left and right. While this is happening, Johnson tries to abduct a valet but is thwarted by the loud car sound, so she runs away. The lady alien is back in the clinic and she's just a girl gurgling up like this. Oh, man, a classic Ashley Pontius night, and then the horror show begins. she dies in front of our sweet doctor, puking up blood and gore, and the other lady who he was trying to abduct, he lights on fire with his laser eyes, and she falls off the fifth floor to her death, but with a nice little... nice little fireball there, but with the other alien's last dying breath, she telepathically reaches out to Johnson to tell her this.
Sidal Too, it is not our fate to breed. You must find someone else to be your queen.
Which has got to be the hardest way to hear that you can't fuck, right? Is a telepathic, like, I just wanted to say, I want to see other people.
Been there, done that.
So,
this is the first of the fireballs in the movie.
Oh, yeah. One of many that are coming up.
He goes on a huge spree after this.
Big fireball movie here. So, Jack then calls Amanda and says that she needs to leave. somebody died with glasses on, just like Johnson in the fucking hospital. Jeremy wants to leave too, but first they start doing some snooping around to find out what else they can find in here. They find one of those weird little liver-faced monsters that he puts in his gut in the cabinet. Belzer stomps on it like a cigarette butt, and they accidentally open up the doorway to his home world.
Cyberspace.
Or intergalactic cable.
I want to try something. Hand me that vase.
And they pick up this vase and then throw it into the portal, and it, like, fucking really shittily
Whoa,
disappears.
What the? Jesus. Maybe we should unplug this thing.
Unplug it.
Way to go, Richard Belzer. Some real helpful comment.
That's maybe how Eric executes his Irish goodbyes.
That's when I expect Ned Beatty's voice to come in and go, Detective Munch.
Yeah.
Detective John Munch.
You gotta solve that crime, Munch.
So Jeremy then goes to reluctantly look for clues downstairs before they leave. And we almost see Amanda see the giant hive mind, but then all of a sudden they get a call from the good doctor at the house.
Yeah, rabies. And it had the most destructive effect on her tissues he ever saw. I mean, she was literally ripped apart by the infection.
Wait a minute. How did she contract rabies?
Somebody broke into my lab tonight, and they apparently injected her with some blood from a rabies victim.
Johnson. Jack told me that she has the same kind of sunglasses that Johnson wears. Why would he be involved in anything like this?
I don't believe Mr. Johnson had anything to do with it. No, whoever did it, they used the blood by mistake.
Wait a minute. This woman, her eyes, you said they were like nothing you'd ever seen. Are you saying Mr. Johnson, he's...
Look, I have to get back to my work. I think that I found a way to knock out this new virus.
Doctor, what about Johnson?
See, the protein that carries it is fairly basic. We eliminate the protein, the virus can't survive.
Doctor, listen to me.
Not only that, it could be knocked out by exposure to radiation. I'm absolutely astounded that they didn't see that.
Who?
I can't disclose that. I gotta get back to work.
Doctor? Wait, doctor, don't hang up. Dr. Rochelle.
Dr. Rochelle has disconnected.
Oh! Johnson was listening the whole time, and he's found out the cure now, which is radiation, which seems like a very easy thing to have figured out up until this point.
It could also be cured by drinking a whole gallon of bleach.
Wink, wink.
All right, Eric, I got the trivia for you. Name another movie that this guy was in.
The Smuckers guy?
Yeah.
Repo Man.
I'll give you a hint. It's Tarantino's favorite movie of all time.
Oh, Blowout?
That's right. He's the boss of John Lithgow.
You're right.
Nutso. So.
Oh, good.
I didn't tell you you could just start killing everybody just because you messed up the killing of a senator. Go buy some more Smuckers.
I think the other fun thing to remember is that the doctor just admits, you're like, well, of course I always have my ready rabies blood that's in the fucking cooler in my office.
Well, that's what confuses me. I'm like, wait. Is it rabies or is it like space cancer? Like, I don't really understand what he had.
Who would have known that this rabid blood would kill aliens? I had no idea. Learning new things every day. You live, you laugh, you learn. I'm a doctor. Here's some Smuckers.
I've been
For medical advice, you can call 911, your local hospital, or listen to the Quality Time podcast.
Yeah, true. I've been waiting my whole life to find a use for this raccoon blood.
Yes.
Quality Time, where we already know the cure for AIDS.
So,
Smuckers.
The good Mr. Johnson shows up at the house almost instantly, and Jeremy tries to shoot the good doctor, but unfortunately, he gets his ass fireballed up real quick. No! So, second fireball of the night is trained on Richard Belzer, and he gets fucking burned up real good. Amanda then runs upstairs, sees the giant alien that's hiding in the room, almost gets tentacled up, almost gets fully hentai'd in a very comical scene where she's dodging tentacles as they're like going over her shoulders. But she does escape outside, where Johnson is begging with her to look at him.
Amanda, we must talk. Amanda, look at me. Turn and look at me.
Oh, don't look at him. Don't you look at him, sweet Amanda.
I never want to give you up. I never want to let you down or let you hurt you. Look,
Jeremy,
at me.
Did you just Rickroll us?
Yes, he did.
You bastard.
I'll never run around and hurt you.
She's able to escape on foot, but now it's too late. Johnson grows a little flying alien and tells it to go kill the Dr. Rochelle to destroy his research. And this fucking shitty alien that he makes that just looks like a stingray that floats up, like straight up and down towards them, that can also phase through walls, goes over to
also kill the croc guy.
Does it kill the croc guy too? Okay.
Oh no, a stingray, my arch nemesis.
It kills the crocodile hunter in this same scene.
I'll save you from the evil German.
So the space stingray pussy thing heads to the clinic, phases through the wall, gets Dr. Rochelle, and just leaves him in a pile of blood, then disappears. No more problem with that thing. Never comes in again. Not even a fucking problem at all. Amanda then calls Jack at the station, says, Jack, I need you to come help me. This fucking guy with the guy who you clearly said was really fucking bad actually is. You're not gonna believe this. He's following me. So he tells her she is at the park, and the cops are on their way to Griffith Park. But the Rolls Royce rolls up much too fast, and I'm sorry, what were you trying to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that actually I have the same conversation with Eric constantly. I'll call him and be like, Eric, you were right. This guy is bad. Please come help me.
So the cops head to Griffith Park.
He just firebombed the waiter because he said we were out of soup.
Amanda, though, after doing exactly 2 minutes of cardio, is completely out of breath, and Johnson catches up with her because he's driving a car, and we hear
you
this.
You will return to the residence. You have seen the transportation gate there.
I have seen the transportation gate.
You will wait for me at the gate, and we will depart together. When you arrive on my world, you will be modified into an egg layer. Your pure blood will create new, young life. You and I, Amanda, will create a whole new world. You will serve the Hive.
I will serve the Hive.
Oh, man.
Word for word, that's my Tinder bio.
Yeah, that's actually... I'm sorry, that actually wasn't from the movie. That's actually how we got Ashley on the show. She is now an egg layer, and she's been hypnotized this entire time.
I'm an egg layer, but nobody's fertilized them yet.
Well, you picked... there's that show, Two Broke Girls, we mentioned before. You picked two impotent guys, and unfortunately... that's where you're at right now.
How are we ever going to fuck anybody if we can't get it up?
Fine, I'll raise the rats.
So he then takes out the two cops with show up and fucking fireballs one of them to hell, which is his third fireball. Jack sees Amanda and then goes to follow after Johnson. Hypnotized, she hops into an ambulance and takes off to Johnson's house to get to the teleporter because she's super fucking hypnotized. Jack and Johnson play cat and mouse on the road, narrowly avoiding fireballs and eyes and a bunch of bullshit. She somehow beats both of them in a high-speed chase to the house. The gate
despite
tells
being
her,
extreme white girl wasted.
Yes, she's extreme white girl wasted. She's driving an ambulance. Nobody pulls her over, and she beats a high-speed pursuit to the house.
I think that was Walker Hayes's last Instagram story.
sweet Walker Hayes, you drunk bitch, you. God, good for you. No, I love me some Walker Hayes. She's great. Hopefully we should have her on the show sometime. We'll add Walker Hayes to the list of running people. We'll play her this clip.
I'm not keeping lists of guests, but I'll add her to
okay. We put people on lists. That's what we do here. We don't actually.
I was gonna say,
her blood is pure. We will have her on quality time.
We will provide blow and horrible penises. So
that is how you got me on the show.
That is, it's true. So she stands before the gate and it beckons her to come in, but she's like, I was instructed to wait. Jack shoots the driving Johnson, who then crashes off the road into a fiery mess. But as he lays dying, the gate then closes and Amanda is released from his home, from his hold. And the next thing we see is that they're standing at the gravesite of Johnson, and we get to hear this.
So his whole world died.
Or maybe they abandoned him. I almost feel sorry for him.
I'm just glad it's over.
Wherever his hive is, I'm just glad he's dead.
And as they're sitting there, another alien just comes on up and moseys on up and then kind of has like this teary-eyed thing. And the gravestone reads, "Not of this earth. Here lies somebody who is not of this earth," which, Jeremy, would be the titular line. There we go. There's the titular line right there. And that brings us to an end of Not of This Earth, the 1995 version, the Tom Myers pick, the great one himself. Tom, final thoughts on this film?
I personally enjoyed it. I started watching it because I was a huge Richard Belzer fan at the time, of course, being a, sort of very sardonic detective working Murs in Baltimore, or that's the character he played. I could kind of sympathize with him as I observed a lot of things going on in my home state of Maryland at the time. That just made me go, yeah, right, sure, okay, yeah, right, okay. I'll beat that bit into the ground one more time, and then.
All right, yeah. That's me, Richard Belzer. Hey, do you know I was on a little show called Homicide: Life on the Streets. You ever heard of it? And it's Baltimore. You ever been to Baltimore?
Now, Tom, you're somewhat of a fan of Homicide, right?
I own the box set. Yeah.
Oh, well, which one? The whole season, every seventh season.
Yep.
Now the reason I got into it is because the guy who played the asshole with the flat top,
Walt McPherson.
Yeah, he came into my Kinko's and I copied his headshot, and I got to read it. And when I saw that he did the reading for the North and South, the PBS series or something, that just blew me away. It's like, oh my gosh, you read for that? That's amazing. So
yeah, Walt McPherson, he plays a racist cop on the show, or it's implied he's a racist. He drops a racial slur in an early episode.
Yeah, he's a real asshole towards
Pembleton.
Pembleton, yeah.
And Giardello when he later becomes his boss in the show. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Jeremy, but can you give us a little life, off that? Can
in
you
real
give...
life, supposedly, super nice guy.
Hey, as a big fan of Tom, you're a big fan, obviously, of Richard Belzer. Jeremy actually does a wonderful Yaphet Kotto impersonation as the chief. Do you think you could give us a little Homicide between you two, real quick? Go ahead, Tom. Give us a little Richard Belzer. I'm going to set the stage. Okay, Jeremy's going to play Yaphet Kotto, who's playing the chief, and Tom, you'll be Richard Belzer. Richard, you're walking in there. You got a bad homicide case, a murdered kid on Howard Street, North Howard Street, and you just can't find any clues for it. And go.
Yeah, G, you wanted to see me?
What do you have for me, much?
Not much, G. It's North Howard Street. No witnesses. You know, Bolander's seeing a woman, but, you know, he's distracted by it because, you know, he's all joyful and wearing, like, colored socks and floral ties and shit. But now, aside from that, the investigation's moving on quite swimmingly.
Hear that the man who died was actually alive when you talked to him before he died. What did he say to you?
Well, he didn't give me his whole life story, but he called me a pig and made a gurgling sound, and he said, check, please.
So I see you have a whodunit.
Yeah, G. More like a whatdunit. Could be an intergalactic cable force alien looking for an egg layer to mate.
Well, you go down there. You go down there with Howard, and you ask and put your finger up to the wind and see whatever you can get, because I know that neighborhood well when I work district.
Yeah, sure, G. You got it. Yeah. Just put my finger in the wind. The guy will come right to me.
I'm black. I'm Yaphet Kotto. Ashley. I'm a horrible actor. I can't play black.
Well, I'm a Jew, so I kind of know how you feel.
Man.
On Black and Jew.
Black and Jew. The thin Jew line. That's what it was.
The really horrible knockoff of, the really horrible cover of Ebony and Ivory.
Ashley.
Tonight on Murders in Baltimore, which isn't the same as homicide.
Ashley. We don't want to get sued.
Hey, Ashley, what are your final thoughts on Not of This Earth?
Oh, it's a little bit hard to top that.
We are true thespians trapped in man's bodies.
Oh boy. I think I'm just gonna say I had a good time. It's good to see Michael York come full circle as an Austin Powers villain.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. We got to watch his coming of age. I think that age was like 55 or 56 when this happened. But, you know, if anything,
so there's still hope for me is what you're saying.
You still got this, Tommy Myers. Tom, where can people find you at and check you out and find links to Tom Myers versus the rest of the world?
Tom Myers versus the rest of the world airs Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on ipmnation.com/ipm2. Listen to it live if you can, because that helps their like SEO or views or hits or some shit like that. I don't know. I'm a technological idiot. But all previous episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, a bunch of other podcast apps. They're all there. Subscribe to my Patreon. There's some extended versions of the episodes and some bonus clips you can't hear on the aired episodes. Of course, please leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And my website is Tom Myers, spelled MYERS.US. You can find my social media, and there's also an RSS feed for the podcast on that site as well. So everything you ever wanted to know about me, TomMyers.us.
Fuck yeah. Check all that shit out. Of course,
only advertise on MySpace.
Yeah, you can find all things for the quality time on MySpace.com. It's a cutting edge social media thing we just found the other day. Check that shit out. Of course, the Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month. That's hosted by Mike Quinlan, who just got a condolence card probably by the time he's listening to this. And hopefully is not putting a gun in his mouth, because we love him to death. Other than that, all things Eric Comedy, ericcomedy.com, Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Ashley, you got some things coming up, no?
I do not. So you can find me at Ashley Pontius Laughs on all social media.
And don't forget, check out our merch shop, the Woodworth Brothers Emporium, also available at ericcomedy.com. Buy yourself a pogo fucking thing. Jeremy, take us out of here.
I don't care much if you go to NYPD Blue. Come back to Baltimore, you bitch.
Okay, Jeremy, nice.
Long show, but okay.
I might break it up into.
I think it was on NYPD. Yeah.
I think we'll make it a two-parter.
SVU.
We did close to 2 hours, and yeah. With the adding the songs on the end of either episode, it'll make it 2-hour-long episodes. So we did enough content, so we have a buffer show again, guys. There we go.
Nice.
So Tom, thanks for helping us out, brother. We really appreciate you, man.
He's only the biggest guest ever.
As always, thanks for bringing me on. No, I mean, I think you've ended up. I think it's this podcast. Dan Capers' old podcast and mm-hmm. Martin Phillips' podcast, where they actually reached out to me and said that I was their, I hate bragging on myself just because I always feel like I'm coming off as some kind of a dick or something, but they mm-hmm. reached out to me and told me that I was their most like downloaded or listened to episode. And I think,
I would down one of your loads in a heartbeat.
Well, there you go. I mean, That's going on my resume when I start applying for gigs right after quarantine. And I think Eric Jolliker sent to me that my episode was pretty up there.
Jolliker. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, Tom. Your 2018 appearance is our most downloaded episode of all time. It is. It has it far our next closest most downloaded episode is Society, which it's to you have 3-4 times more downloads then. So
oh shit.
so yes, you're rocking it out, man, and keep doing your shit into 2021, man.
I'll go ahead and send everybody to you guys, and I'm gonna try and get you more listeners.
Sometimes when you're lying in your chair at home and you get your friend out of the vault and stick him into your mouth in your belly and you start talking to your friend, your master through your time portal and you find out your brood has died, yeah. That's when vampire aliens do cry. Vampire aliens, yeah, they still cry. But when you're in your basement and you're collecting blood that you turn into weird green silume, yeah. And you stick that little thing in people's necks and suck them to the bone like some weird zombie, yeah. But you'll be prepared to stick them in the oven, burn them alive. Cause they're still kind of alive even you drain them for blood. Alien vampires still cry. Alien vampires still cry. And my heart will go on.
So it's been a fucked up year, as we all well know. From gay tiger keepers that do meth and blow. We worked home mostly, and the gyms were all closed. We masked up our faces and covered our nose. So fuck 2020, if I may be so blunt. Fuck 2020, you slovenly cunt. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you! So I killed Wilford Brimley and the Black Panther too. Killed your favorite Laker, your grandmother too. I killed 007 and Regis Philbin and Alex Trebek. Then I took Van Halen. So fuck 2020, you venomous slut. Fuck 2020, another punch in the gut. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you! So we had murder hornets and protested in the streets. Some said they love the cops, others fuck the police. A lot of places gone and it was all a scare. Traded a guy who grabs pussies for one that smells children's hair. So fuck 2020, you venomless cunt. Fuck 2020, another punch in the gut. So raise your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you.